Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a sub that's glued together with crunchy sampler texture for that jungle and old school DNB feel. What we're making here is not just a bass sound, we're building a low-end system. The sub is the foundation. Clean, solid, mono, and easy to control. Then we'll add a crunchy texture layer on top, using sampler or simpler, so the bass has attitude, movement, and that sampled, classic drum and bass personality without turning the whole mix into mud. That balance is a big deal in DNB mastering. You want the low end to feel centered and dependable, while the grit and character sit above it and give the listener something to latch onto on smaller speakers, headphones, and club systems. If the sub is doing its job, it should feel almost invisible in solo, but massive in the full track. So first, set up two separate tracks. One will be your sub, the other will be your crunch texture. Keep them separate at the start so you can control each layer properly. On the sub track, use operator or wave editable and choose a simple sine or near sine source. Keep it mono with utility, and set the width all the way down to zero if needed. That's important. The sub should live dead center. If you need to tidy up rumble, put EQ8 after it and gently high pass around 20 to 30 Hz. Just enough to clear the useless low-end noise, not enough to thin the sound out. Now, and this is key, write the sub line around the drums. Don't treat it like a separate melody. In drum and bass, the bass and drums are in conversation. Let the sub land on the strong beats, leave space around the snare, and use short notes in busier sections. In more open sections, you can let notes hold a little longer, but keep the phrasing controlled. A good starting point is a two-bar loop with a small variation on the second bar. That's enough to create movement without making the line overly busy. In a jungle-style vibe, the bass can answer the break chop. In a darker roller, it can stay more relentless, but even then you still want the rhythm to breathe. Long notes everywhere usually make the groove feel heavy in the wrong way. What you want is tension and release. Now shape the sub envelope. If you're using operator, keep the attack very fast, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay can be short if you want a punchier note, or a bit longer if you want more sustain. Release should be tight, somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds, just enough to avoid clicks. The goal is stability, not drama. If the sub feels uneven, add a compressor, but keep it gentle. We're talking maybe 2 to 3 to 1 ratio, a moderate attack, and a moderate release, with only a couple of decibels of gain reduction. You do not want the sub to pump, you want it to feel like a pillar. In mastering, a stable low end is much easier to make loud and clean. Now let's build the crunchy layer. This is where the old school jungle personality comes in. You can start with a resampled bass note, a chopped bit of a break, or a gritty low mid stab you've recorded earlier. Load it into simpler if it's a short one shot or a small loop. If you want more control and key tracking, use sampler. Either way, keep in mind that this layer is not supposed to replace the sub. It's here to create harmonic texture, movement, and bite. If you're in simpler, trim the sample tightly. If it's a punchy hit, you probably won't warp off unless you specifically need it aligned to tempo. If it's more of a chop texture, slice mode can give you that old sample-based feel. In sampler, you can use looping and start offset to find the sweet spot, especially if the sample has a useful gritty attack buried inside it. Once you've got the sample behaving, shape it. Use auto filter to isolate the useful grit. A band pass or low pass can help keep the texture focused instead of noisy. Then add saturator and give it some drive, maybe 3 to 8 dB depending on the source. Soft clip can help tame peaks and make the distortion feel more controlled. Drum bus is also great here if you want a more aggressive drum and bass bite. Add a little drive, maybe a bit of crunch, and see how it reacts. Then use EQ8 to carve out the unnecessary sub-range. Usually you want to high-pass the texture somewhere around 70 to 100 Hz so it doesn't fight the real sub. That's one of the biggest mistakes people make, letting the texture carry too much low-end. If the texture is acting like the foundation, the mix gets harder to manage and the master limiter has to work too hard later. A really good mindset here is this. The sub is the structure, the crunch is the personality. If the personality starts doing the job of the structure, things fall apart. Now group both tracks together into a bass group. This is where the two layers start feeling like one instrument. On the group, add EQ8 first if needed. You can gently high pass around 20 to 30 Hz if there's sub rumble, and if the texture is making the low mids cloudy, make a small cut somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. Don't overdo it. Use narrow cuts only when you can hear a specific problem. Then add a compressor or glue compressor very lightly. The point is to make the layers sit together, not to squeeze the life out of them. A little reduction is enough. Utility on the group can help too, but the main thing is still that the actual sub track stays mono. If the texture has a bit of width, that's fine, but be careful. In drum and bass, mono compatibility matters a lot. When you hit mono on the master, the bass should still feel solid. At this point, it's a great idea to open spectrum on both layers while you're building. That way you're not guessing. You can actually see where the sub lives and where the crunchy layer sits. If both layers are fighting for the same space, that's when things get cloudy. If the sub owns the bottom and the texture lives above it, the bass will feel much bigger even if it sounds smaller in solo. And that's a useful reminder. A good DNB low end often sounds smaller in solo than people expect. If it sounds huge by itself, there's a good chance it's eating too much room once the drums and the full arrangement come in. Now let's add movement. This is where the bass starts to feel alive. Automate the crunch texture track, not the sub, whenever possible. You can automate auto filter cutoff for a rising tension effect, saturator drive for extra grit in the drop, or utility gain for phrase level emphasis. A very effective move is to start the texture more filtered in the intro, then slowly open it up as the drop approaches. That's a classic way to build anticipation. In a drop, you can also pull the texture down for a beat or a bar before it hits back in. That little drop in energy makes the return feel much bigger. And in an old school jungle arrangement, that call and response style works beautifully. Bass phrase, drum fill, bass reply, repeat. It feels composed, not just looped. If you want even more authenticity, resemble the whole bass group, route it to a new audio track and record one bar, two bars, or even four bars. Then drag that audio back into sampler or simpler and start chopping the best parts. This is a huge trick for getting that sampled personality. It captures the interaction between the sub, the texture, the compression, and the distortion all at once. That makes the bass feel more like a record and less like a raw synth patch. If the resampled audio has too much low end, strip it back. The clean sub should remain the only true foundation. The resampled layer is there for character, not weight. Now let's talk about mix balance and mastering prep. Check the whole thing in mono. If the sub barely changes, you're in good shape. If the texture disappears in mono, that's not always a problem, as long as the track still holds together because the sub and the mid content are doing their job. That's often exactly what you want. The listener doesn't need every layer to survive in mono perfectly. The important thing is that the core impact survives. Also, keep headroom on the master. Ideally, you want the mix peaking around -6 dB before you start any mastering processing. That gives your limiter space to work properly later. You want the limiter catching peaks, not trying to repair a bad bass balance. If the crunch gets harsh, don't immediately just pull the distortion down. Often the real issue is too much upper edge, especially around the 2 to 6 kHz region. Try reducing the top of the sampled layer or using EQ to smooth the harshness first. Then see if you still need to back off the drive. Here's a quick teacher tip. If the bass feels too intense in solo, that can actually be a warning sign. In DNB, the low end should feel controlled and purposeful. Massive in context, maybe, but not bloated. For a more modern dark roller variation, keep the sub steady and let the crunch layer do more of the emotional movement. For a more jungle or old school version, lean into chopped break derived texture, little rhythmic gaps, and more obvious sample character. Same subline, different treatment, completely different identity. A couple of pro moves to try. Use phrase-based distortion changes, where the second half of a drop gets a little dirtier than the first. Use micromutes before fills to make the return hit harder. And if you're using sampler, map velocity to filter or sample start instead of just volume. That way harder hits reveal more edge, without making the sub jump around unpredictably. So to recap, keep the sub clean, mono, and rhythmically intentional. Build the crunch layer with sampler or simpler and shape it so it adds attitude without owning the foundation. Glue the two layers together with gentle EQ and compression. Use automation and resampling to create motion and that sample jungle character. And always check mono and headroom so your track is ready for mastering instead of fighting it. Now for your practice task. Build a 2-bar bass phrase in Ableton Live 12. Make the sub simple. Make the crunch layer gritty but controlled. Automate one change over the loop, like filter opening or drive increase. Then switch to mono and listen carefully. Does the low end stay stable? Does the crunch still give attitude without masking the sub? If yes, you're on the right track. That's the vibe. Clean foundation, dirty personality, and a bass sound that already feels like part of a finished drum and bass record.